This is Bedside, a podcast series on a mission to debunk sex. I'm your host, Tatiana, and each week we'll uncover stories, ideas, routines, and expert information to help guide you on your ever-evolving journey of good sex. We believe that through democratizing sexual wellness, we can shift cultural taboos and make way for authentic and limitless access to pleasure, joy, and connection to the body. Hi guys, and welcome back to another quickie. So today's episode is uniquely about something that has just been going on online, and it has to do with the new Instagram and Facebook censorships. Now, before I totally turn you away, if you aren't personally involved in the sex education space or sex work or any sort of product creation around sex and sexuality, this is a really important topic that I think all of us across the board should have some type of awareness on, because it is something that at this moment is going to directly be affecting sex workers and creators, but it's going to have a longer lasting effect across anybody who is involved in social media in terms of business. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But just to get everybody on the same page here, so some of you may be aware of this. This may be new news to some people here listening now. But starting December 20th, there will be a new Instagram terms and services that's going to greatly affect the work and livelihoods of a lot of sex workers and educators and creators. Now, for those who really don't know, Instagram is owned by Facebook. This is not new news. And there is actually has been going on for the past couple years now a really big lawsuit with Facebook involving its monopolization over media. This really came into the forefront when Facebook most recently bought WhatsApp. I won't get too heavy in that specific regard. I'll leave that to the experts and the people who really know the ins and outs of this. So a great resource I'm going to share with you right now, which I'll link in the show notes, is that the New York Times Daily came out this past week with an episode just about what's going on with Facebook and Instagram and the monopoly there. So I will link in the show notes that episode. Michael Barbaro goes greatly into detail about what's happening. But these new terms and services that have been outlined that are going to be taking place December 20th that actually have already kind of taken place in terms of shadow banning and a lot of censorship already within the sex community really are going to restrict a lot of different forms of sexual activity. So to give a bit of a rundown of what the new terms and services outline and what the restrictions are specifically on sexual activity is primarily a response to trafficking, sex trafficking efforts, and really to knock down what has become kind of this larger beast to really get a grip on what the internet has become involving unconsensual trafficked sex work. Now, this unfortunately is having a larger effect on people who work in the sex industry under, quote, ethical standards. Now, the terms that are going to be banned on Facebook and intrinsically Instagram are anything, any sort of facilitation or encouragement that coordinates sexual activity. It bans any sort of sexual messaging, any sort of sexualized slang or hints and suggestive statements. And it also is going to ban any sort of language or description of sex or arousal. So this is going to be particularly hard for many who have cultivated a following and a livelihood based on these applications and these communities, and especially in the midst of a pandemic where we've seen this massive shift, this massive need to shift to digital models. Not to mention, as many of us are aware, a lot of the shadow banning and discrimination really comes down to the biases of Instagram and Facebook policies, including that of sex work, of sexism, racism, you name it. And so not only is this going to harm sex workers who are the most marginalized here, but it's going to harm the work of sex educators and therapists, pleasure companies, sex positive influencers, you name it. And so it's really going to be devastating to these groups. Now, you might be wondering, how does this really affect me if I'm not in the space? What is the real harm here? So to give a little context, I think it's important that we talk about FOSTA and SESTA, which were bills passed in 2018 that have transformed the lives of sex workers across the country and intensified a long-running debate over how we deal with an underground economy that runs the gamut from voluntary sex work to involuntary sex trafficking. So over the past 20 years or so, that economy has increasingly migrated online, of course. And FOSTA and SESTA was an attempt to shut down the websites that facilitate trafficking. But sex workers say that it's had the additional effect of putting their lives in danger because it's taking them from an online infrastructure that they've come to depend on to a loss of access to internet spaces, thus not only devastating a community, but the community's ability to support themselves, to take care of themselves, to make money, and to most importantly, stay safe, like implement any sort of digital screening of clientele and so forth. So there really hasn't been much evidence that shows that FOSTA and SESTA has helped to reduce sex trafficking. The government claims that the laws have decreased sex trafficking ads by about 90%, but analysis by the Washington Post found that just 4 months after FOSTA and SESTA's passage, that the number had rebounded to about 75% of the original figure. So there honestly hasn't been too much research on the law's effects. And in all transparency, it's really easy to pass laws when it's guised as an act that's just going to help prevent a really larger topic that most people are aligned on, which is the prevention of human trafficking. But what people weren't paying attention to was the fact that it really doesn't actually do much to prevent human trafficking. And what sex workers said was going to happen is that it's actually going to make people more vulnerable to human trafficking by taking away the harm reduction techniques. So despite the lack of research and the continued backlash from sex workers and free speech advocates, a bipartisan group of senators is pushing forward a new bill that doubles down on the spirit of FOSTA and SESTA, and that is the Earn It Act. And it encourages web platforms to adopt stricter moderation and censorship approaches. And it's going to shield websites from lawsuits over any sort of illegal content posted by users. And so the bill was originally proposed so that websites be forced to, quote, earn back their section protections by adhering to rules created and judged by a commission headed by law enforcement. But what's interesting is that it will most likely be used for policing language on online platforms. And it's really going to deplatform any sort of sex work, and it's going to censor and reduce material and resources that are available for a plethora of reasons, anything from survivors of sexual assault or violence, resources for sexual education, for pleasure-based information. It's really going to be so harmful on that front. And what has been really interesting about this is that this, yes, is going to be affecting those who work in the sex space. sex workers are usually the people who feel things like this first. And the things that happen to them first are really what's going to happen to everybody else next, which is something that I really want to drive home right now. That censorship laws are going to be affecting very niche markets at the moment, but they are only going to increase with time. And this is really where I see the beginning of censorship changing the way that we experience and interact with communities online. I've already seen kind of this first wave, like terms and services aside, I've already witnessed in my own microcosms, if you will, that people are getting sick of the way that we've had to kind of adapt to specifically Instagram. We've seen like the business models constantly shift. I mean, I think most relevantly right now, it's so clear that the business model is being pushed to commerce, and it's being pushed to kind of take over other apps that they are wanting to kind of consume. We saw that happen with Snapchat and stories. It's now happening with TikTok to Reels. So we've really kind of are being molded to adapt to whatever Instagram wants us to do next. And I think that it's a really important reminder and push for people that when you are on a platform that you don't own anything. Like, we don't own our Instagram followers. We don't own any of the environment. And so I think that especially in 2021, we're going to be witnessing a lot of shifting in business models. And yes, it's going to start with sex educators and sex workers and creators, but this is also eventually going to shift into just the general public and people who have, like, quote unquote, G-rated companies. And it's really an overall calling for us to find new ways and creative possibilities to redirect things into our own hands and really reclaim that power that we all ultimately have. I think that we're going to see an explosion in businesses creating their own community pools in super authentic ways. And I think we're just starting to see it now, and it's going to become way more of a thing. So while this is super devastating, and I do not want to come across as someone who's glazing over how this is going to gravely impact those in the sex space primarily, I really see this as a time to get ahead of the curve and to also do so with real intentionality and authenticity. So the few things that you can do right now are, especially if you are in the sex space, or if you just follow and support individuals who are in the sex space, is to really listen to the pages that are asking you to join them elsewhere on the internet, whether that's joining newsletters or podcasts like this or Patreons. It's really an integral time to just take your favorite resources and support them as much as you can in this time. There are also a few petitions going around, which I will link in the show notes, that would be really impactful just to sign and show support of as all these changes are happening. But I want to leave you with a little bit of hope here that there is a lot of room for innovation. And I think that we all in some type of way have been really craving it as well. I've been seeing us become sick of some of the systems that just aren't serving us anymore. And it's become clearer and clearer and clearer, especially for marginalized communities. And it's really a time to come forth with new tools and ways to show up for your space, to make a livelihood for yourself, and to create conversation and dialogue that is just going to bring us all to the next level. And I mean, look, I think that a lot of the time too, especially in social media spaces like Instagram, there's really this like forced rush to adaptation. Like I mentioned, with all the features that we've kind of been like following behind. And I think that a lot of the time there's this like rush into things if, you know, if there's a new update or a new feature that comes along. But I want to remind us, especially those who are in the activist space, in the education space, in the sex work space, that good things and building good things that will last, it's going to take time. Like, I kind of want to encourage everybody to like take a step back from this rushed model, this like cranking out of content. What it's going to take moving forward beyond fads and beyond quick fixes is that we're really going to have to follow this slow grassroots agenda, which is especially integral in sexuality spaces. Like, we're not going to change people's thought processes overnight. It's really a longer term dedication to creating impactful global cultural change. And so with that comes experimentation. It comes with getting creative and finding new ways and just not getting so focused on constant output and perfectionism. And I think that this is going to become a larger conversation within our media. I mean, the fact that the New York Times is covering it already and like really bringing it to our forefronts is telling me that this is going to be a larger, longer conversation. So the fact that those who are in the sex space are first and foremost affected by it is not surprising to me in any way. And it also shows that this is going to have a larger cultural impact besides just people who are in the sex space. This is just really the first wave of people who are going to feel it. So I hope that this really does leave you with some sort of inspiration moving forward. I hope it also kind of cleared up what these terms are actually doing and where they're getting at historically and what's working, what's really not working. And I want to encourage you that there's a lot of hope and important energy behind this. Sometimes things that knock us down like this awaken us to the actual greater possibility on the other side. So if you are someone whose line of work is really being devastated, I hear you and I see you, and keep sharing ways that we can support you. So with that said, I hope you have a great rest of your week, and I will catch you next. Thank you for listening to the Bedside Podcast. If you liked this episode and want to follow along with similar stories and interviews, be sure to check out our Instagram at The Bedside and thebedside.co online. Make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and of course, share with your friends. It's the best way you can support us and our good sex mission. Thank you for listening.